Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 11. Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 11. For the sake of time, we'll skip around just a bit and get down to where we want to be in this chapter. Notice in the first verse it says, "And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples, said unto them, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see." Now let's move on down to verse 16. He said, "But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It's likened to children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows and saying, We've piped unto you and you've not danced. We have mourned unto you and you've not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking. They say he hath a devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking. They say, Behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children." Verse 20. "And then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not." Now let's drop on down to verse number 28. One of the greatest passages, I guess, and one of the greatest known among Christians right here, these next three verses right here. It's very common. We want to deal with it tonight. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. Ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Father, we want to thank you tonight, God, for the privilege, God, of being in your house tonight, Lord. God, of looking into the Word of God tonight, Lord, and hearing you speak to us, God. Lord, we pray, God, your will would be done now in the preaching time, Lord. I ask you, God, to challenge hearts tonight, God. Help us, Lord, to examine ourselves, whether we're in your will, whether we're in your family, God, or not. Lord, I ask you, God, that your will be done. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated tonight. This first part of this chapter that I just read, Christ had begun to go into different cities to preach and to teach in their cities. And I guess it's a whole lot like today. People couldn't take his preaching. You know, there's a lot of places today that just can't take hard preaching. Jesus went gun barrel straight at them and told them what their problems were, told them what they needed. The greatest need that they had in their life was repentance. And they didn't want to repent of their sins. That's one of the great problems in society today. People's in love with sin. When the gospel is preached to them, it offends them. And Christ spoke to them right here in verse number 6. He said, "Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." But people today, when the truth of this gospel is preached, friend, they are offended by the Word of God and they turn from it. But let me tell you something tonight. For a person to realize that they're lost and on their way to a devil's hell ought not to be offended at the Word of God. I remember when I was a lost man, the Word of God didn't make me mad. It scared me. It didn't offend me. And I'm glad there was an old man of God that stood up and preached the truth to me and told me there was a heaven high and there was a hell that was hot. And that's the place where saved people go, to heaven. Lost people die and go to a devil's hell. So I want to deal with the thought tonight of this, out of verse number 28, where Jesus said, "Come unto me. Come unto me." It's a great invitation that Christ has given to all mankind in this passage of Scripture here. I want you to notice three things in this passage tonight. There's a great warning in the early part of this chapter. You see, these people were rejecting Christ and were refusing to repent of their sins. They turned on Him. They more or less just said, "We don't want you. We don't want to hear the gospel that you're preaching to us. We don't want to hear the truth. Leave us alone." And that's where a lot of lost people are today, in the same condition. But Christ turned upon them and He upbraided them because of their failure to repent. I've seen even preachers today, in the day that we live, men in the past that have preached the truth. People are so adamant against repentance that there's men that has turned on preaching repentance. But I can tell you something tonight, friend. There'll be no salvation without repentance of sin. We must be godly sorry of our sins before we'll ever be able to get saved. Repentance is preached and taught throughout the Word of God. And I tell you, that's something we better not take away from the Word of God, friend. But hey, let me tell you something. There's a lot of men today that's trying to build mega churches. They're trying to gain in membership so they can do great things and bring in great offerings and build their place up, build their name up, build their church up. And they're taking things out of the Word of God to draw the multitudes in just to get their name on a church roll, friend. It don't matter if you got your name on a church, every church roll from here to California. If your name ain't on His roll, friend, you ain't a going to heaven. Listen, there's a great warning in the early parts of this chapter. But there's also a great welcome. Jesus said, "Come unto me. Come unto me." Hey, let me tell you something, friend. He didn't say go to Muhammad, did he? He didn't say go to Buddha. He didn't say go out and work 2 years passing out tracts and I'll let you in. He simply said, "Come unto me. Come unto me." Salvation is very simple. The devil makes it hard on people. The devil tries to confuse people and make salvation hard. It's a simple thing of realizing that you're lost. Man's got to get lost before he can be found. If you're lost without Christ, and the Holy Ghost of God convicts you of your wickedness, of the life that you've lived away from God, separated from God, doing the wicked things of this world. If you become godly sorry of your sins, friend, that's when you can come to Christ and get help. Repentance. When you want to change your life from going in one direction and change and go in another direction, this direction it was taking you to hell, but this direction will take you to heaven. What Christ wants out of a man, woman, boy, or girl. There's a great welcome of acceptance, of repentance and salvation that's given in this chapter. But there's also another thing that's given here, a great work. You see, with salvation, there's a great responsibility given to you and I. We all have a cross to bear. We all have a light that's given to us, and we ought to let our lights so shine before men that they'd give God glory. They ought to be able to see Christ in you and I in our daily walk. God wants us to shine. He wants us to do a work for Him while we have life and breath and strength as we go through this life. Amen? There's plenty of things that we can do. Plenty of things that we can do. Hey, I mentioned praying for these that's sick and on the hospital. Hey, child of God, you can pray. God's given that ability to every one of us. We ought not to sin in failing to pray for those that's in need tonight. Amen? First of all, let's deal with this thing of the great warning. There is judgment to come upon sin. There is no sin that will escape judgment. A lot of times we may think that we've got our sins hidden. We can hide our sins from mama. We can hide our sins from daddy, from husband or from wife. We can hide our sins from our kids. Kids can hide their sins from mama and daddy. But let me tell you something, friend. God has an all-seeing eye, friend. And there's not one sin that escapes His eye. There'll not be one sin that escapes judgment. But I'm glad that He died on Calvary's cross to take judgment away from anyone that would accept Him. Amen? God judged sin upon Christ on Calvary. All the sins of all mankind was placed upon Christ, and God judged that sin upon Christ. He died for the sins of the whole world on Calvary's cross. Now we have a chance at life. This great morning, I see that there's a revelation given. In verses 4 and 5, he said, Jesus answered, said unto them, go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor, listen, the poor have the gospel preached unto them. Ain't you glad that we have a gospel? Ain't you glad that there was some good news that came to you one day that Jesus died on Calvary's cross and He died there for you that you might have a chance at life? Revelation given. Jesus was going about teaching and preaching in their cities. The good news that came to them, friend, as was prophesied through the prophets that the Messiah would come one day and that He would live, that He would die, that He would bear their sins on Calvary's cross. And now He's arrived. And the gospel is being preached. So revelation is given unto the people of this day. I'm talking about a warning now. We have good preaching today. Amen? Hey, I think we've got preachers today that are more enlightened than there's ever been in the history of man. Amen? There's no excuse. We've got preaching. Hey, that the things of God are revealed to us today through the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen, not only is there a revelation given, but there's a responsibility given. Notice in verse number 2, in verse 3 here. Now, when John, we're talking about John the Baptist right here. You know that Jesus said there's not a greater man born of a woman than John the Baptist. What a great character he is in the Word of God. What a great man of God he was. But now John is in prison. Listen, I'm talking about a responsibility now that's given. When John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples. Look at this. And said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Wow. The man that baptized Christ. The man that looked up off the shores of Galilee one day and said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. But now he's in prison and he begins to doubt. You know, the devil loves to cast doubt upon the Word of God, upon the facts of God. And he's still doing the very same thing today. Hey, we better look at John's example right here and realize, friend, that the doubt is a powerful thing. But listen, we better believe the Word of God. Can I tell you something? Notice what Jesus said to John. He sent two of his disciples. Said, he should come, or should we look for another? Jesus sent and said to them, go and show John again the things which you do hear and see. John was not able to see many of the miracles that Christ did. Hey, John's no different than you and I. John had to believe. John had to have faith, just like you and I have to have faith. And let me tell you, there's a lot of folks today, boy, if they could see a great light out of heaven, if they could see a 50-foot tall Jesus, there's a lot of folks that say, boy, if I could just see a miracle, I'd believe. Let me tell you something. You're going to see John the Baptist in heaven one of these days, and he got there by faith. By faith. The same way that you'll get there, the same way that I'm going to get there, friend, it's by faith in a finished work of Calvary. The Lord Jesus Christ. No other way. No other way. There's a responsibility that's given here. It's to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you have that option tonight. Believe or not believe. Heaven or hell. It's your decision tonight. Listen now. A revelation is given in this great warning. A responsibility is given in this great warning of judgment. But there's a resolution that's given. A resolution in verse 20 through 24. Look at these verses right here. Then he began to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done. Look at this. Because they repented not. They repented not. They repented not. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. If you're lost tonight under the sound of the gospel, one of these days you'll be judged, friend, of your rejection of the gospel because you repented not. Because you didn't heed the warning that God sent you through the preaching of the Word of God. Jesus began to upbraid these cities wherein most of His mighty works, the miracles that were performed there, friend, hey, you would think that they'd be convinced. The blind given their sight, lepers cleansed, lame made to walk. What more could you ask for? Let me tell you something, friend. We better believe the works of Christ. You better believe the works of Christ. You better not believe the lie of the devil. Jesus went on. He said, "Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For the mighty works which were done in you, had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you." He's comparing the cities of his generation, of his day, to some of those in the Old Testament, the ungodly cities of Tyre and Sidon. "And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee." I'm talking about a great warning. Christ has given plenty of warning in the Word of God to escape the judgment that's coming upon this world one day. He's given plenty of opportunity. He's given plenty in this Word right here of warnings to mankind. Prepare to meet thy God. Man has an option. Man has an option to say yes or to say no. Jesus said, "Come unto me. Come unto me." Everyone is in this house tonight that's been saved by the grace of God, you had an option one day to heed that call or to reject that call. Listen, the people that he was upbraiding here is the people, friend, that said, "No, I won't believe, even though the miracles are there. No, I won't repent." But the sad part is, no, they won't be saved in that kind of mindset. The same way with mankind today. You have an option to believe, to repent, and to be saved. Or you have an option to not believe, not repent, and die and go to a devil's hell for all eternity. God's not going to force salvation on anybody. Hey, what more could He do? What more could God do for you and I than to send His Son to a cross and let Him die there in open shame, bearing the sins of us upon Him there? The place where you and I were guilty, a place where you and I should have been crucified and dying for our sins there. What more could God have done? He's made salvation simple. Took our place. That's a great warning of judgment to come as Christ was giving the Word of God to mankind right here. A warning. judgment's coming. But I notice, friend, a little further on here, this great welcome. It's a welcome of justification by invitation. Justified. We're justified by faith. We're justified by the blood of Christ. We'll stand, but if you've been saved by the grace of God, if you believe and accept it and come to Christ, friend, you'll stand before God one day just as if you'd never sinned. Because Christ took your place in judgment. Christ took your place. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? This great welcome, friend. Notice in verse 28, we'll see the good shepherd's call as he said, "Come unto me. Come unto me." Very simple, isn't it? Very simple. He just asks a lost person to believe, to step out and come to him. He's, hey, the work's already been done. The debt's already paid. All that a man, woman, boy, or girl has to do is step out and accept what he's already done. Crying out for mercy. The good shepherd's call. Come unto me. But look at the gone astray sheep's condition in verse 28. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." Sin's heavy. Sin's a load. I remember when I was lost, wandering through life in darkness, friend, and get to worrying about dying and going to hell, friend. And I mean, it's a heavy load to bear your own sins through this life. Amen. Sin. Something that's disgusting to God. Sin. It's heavy. But Jesus is saying, "Come unto me, and I'll give you rest. Come unto me. I'll take that load off of you of sin." What an invitation, isn't it? Whoa, what a great welcome that he's given to all mankind. Hey, he didn't just come to the righteous. He didn't just come to the rich, but he came to all mankind. Hey, poor, wicked, all mankind can be saved if they'll just come to Christ. The good shepherd's call, the gone astray sheep's condition. Isaiah said, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. There's none good, no, not one." Man has got a problem. And that problem is sin, sin, sin. And he better do something about that problem before he leaves this walk of life. But it can be fixed. The most vile, the most wicked, the most sin-laden person in this world can be saved by coming to Christ. Notice not only the good shepherd's call and the gone astray sheep's condition, but notice the great scope of the shepherd's call. He said, "Come unto me, all." All. Boy, I like that word, all. Listen to me, friend. The devil had told me that I'd gone too far, that I'd done too much. Hey, the devil told me many a time, "Don't you go down to that altar. God will never save you." But listen to me. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye." All ye that are laboring heavy laden with sin. Well, we've got something to thank Him for. We've got something to praise Him for. Amen. Hey, where would you be without Him? Would you rather go back to where you was before He found you? I would. Got no desire for that. Misery. Loaded with sin. Misery. And heading to a place of eternal punishment. where the misery really just begins. The place where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. The place where the fire's never quenched. The place of torment. Hey, a lot of folks think that there's going to be a reunion in hell, where all the old drinking buddies just get together, you know, and have a good time. Hell ain't like that, friend. The Bible says that hell is a place of outer darkness. Pitch dark. All the demons of hell there. Weeping and wailing and a gnashing of teeth. Can you imagine being in a dark place and a demon or somebody else that's lost that comes up and just gnashes their teeth on you? All the screams and the crying and the begging and the pleading, friend, for all eternity, never ceasing. Darkness. You know, blindness is one of the greatest fears that I believe I'd ever have in life. But that's what it's like in hell. Awful, awful place. The scope of the shepherd's call. He said, come unto me, all ye. And then this. Not only the good shepherd's call, the gone astray sheep's condition, the great scope of the shepherd's call, but the great salvation and its comfort. There's comfort. There's peace and salvation. I wouldn't trade the peace of God for nothing. I'm glad I've made peace with God, and I'm glad He gave me the peace of God, Brother Joe. I can lay my head down at night and not wake up in the middle of the night fearing about where I'm going to spend eternity. Amen. I remember when I was lost, Brother Jerry, there was times I mean, hell became so real. The fear of dying and going to hell was awful. But listen, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You remember when you came to Jesus and that burden, that heavy load was lifted off of you. You felt like a new person. Sins are gone. The burden of sin lifted. Hey! God saved me when I was 23 years old, Brother Joseph. I ain't never got over it. Let me tell you something. On Saturday, I was frequenting the pool room and the bar rooms. On Sunday, He saved me, friend, and I ain't never turned back. Glory to His good name. He lifted the burden of sin, and I've got no regrets tonight. Amen. Salvation and its comfort. Turn with me to Hebrews. I want to read these 3 or 4 verses right here in Hebrews chapter 2. I'm talking about a great welcome. I'm glad that Jesus is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But notice what He says in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. He says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Listen now. Give heed to the things which God says to you, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? God can do no more than He's done. He gave His Son to die and pay the sin debt. He sent the Holy Ghost of God into the world to convict men, to draw men, to give men light. What more can God do? But there is an option. You can neglect or you can accept. You can put it off till you put it off too long. Hell will be full of people that heard the gospel, Brother Joe, that was under heavy Holy Ghost conviction, and they refused, they neglected, they put it off, wait until another time maybe, wait until a later day, thinking they had some things that they had to take care of, but they're in hell for all eternity because they neglected so great a salvation. Amen. Who was it in the Bible? Was it Felix? When Paul had preached to him, testified to him. He said, sometime in a more convenient season, I'll call for you again. Can I tell you something? He fell off the page of the Word of God. Never having accepted, never had that opportunity again. King Agrippa's another one. He said, Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Oh, listen to me. King Agrippa's in hell today, probably. Those words that Paul spoke to him are echoing in his mind for all eternity. The words that he spoke to Paul, almost, boy, almost, 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 but lost. Lastly, this, not only a great warning, a great welcome, but there's a great work that I see. You see, when you get saved, you become yoked to Christ. He says this, take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. I'm talking about a great work when we're yoked to Jesus. Notice the expectation here of a great work in our lives. He says, take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke upon you. What he's calling for is total commitment. Total commitment. Yoked, tied together. Y'all know what a yoke is? I got an old antique ox yoke. That thing's, it comes out and has a place for two oxen to put their heads in here, and then there was a bow-like staff that went down through that locked their heads in there. Couldn't get out. That's what Christ wants for you and me. He wants us to be yoked to Him, committed to Him, that He could use us, that He could teach us some things, that we could be a blessing as we go through life. The expectation and then the example, the yielding to the yoke. If we're yoked to Christ, friend, we're in a partnership. And let me tell you something. If you're yoked to somebody big as God, He's going to do the leading. You ain't. He's going to make the decisions. Amen? I've heard people say of a long time ago when you wanted to break a young ox, you just tie him to one that's great, big, and already trained. And he decided he wanted to go one way, the big one, he'd lead him the right way. Let me tell you something, the example, friend. If we'll get yoked to Christ and get totally committed to Christ, totally committed now to His will for our life, He'll change your walk. He'll change your talk. He'll change your wants in life. Let me tell you something, friend. Hey, it'll be a whole lot easier, friend, if we'll just get in step with Him and quit trying to buck and get out of the yoke. Amen? Boy, we're a bunch of rebels, ain't we? Somebody ought to take a stick and beat the fire out of us. Amen? Bucking, trying to get out of the yoke. The expectation, the example, but notice lastly this, the ease of this yoke. Talking about a great work. You can do it. Hey, let me tell you something. There's no excuse for anybody in this house right here not to do a great work for Christ. Amen? No excuse. No excuse. Notice the ease of his yoke in verse 30. He said, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Why would it be easy? He has all the power. He has all the strength. He's all we need. We just need to get in the yoke and follow him. Go where he leads. He'll be beside you. He'll be beside you. Didn't he say in the Word of God, "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee"? You won't ever be alone. Never will you ever have to be alone. Hey, he'll be beside you. He'll listen to you. Ain't you glad you got a God that listens? Ain't you glad that you got a God that listens to you when you talk to him? I was down at Sister Mary's this evening, and she said, "I can't get down and pray." She said, "I got down last time she got down and prayed." She said, "I like never got up." But she said, "You know, I just talk to him wherever I'm at." She said, "I talk to him." I said, "Well, that's fine, Sister Mary. So he'll talk to you too. He'll listen. He'll listen." Listen, not only that, but he'll let you lean on him. Listen, when you get tired, when you get weary, when you feel like everything's caving in on you, when your burden seems heavy to you, you've got one to lean on. Amen? I like that old song, Brother Tim, "Lean on Me." Lean on me. Christ wants us to lean on him. Trust in him. Trust in him with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding is what the Bible says, ain't it? And he said he'd direct your path. Sound like he's wanting us to follow him in the yoke. He'll even lighten your load. For he said, "My burden is light." There's nothing like the Christian life. Amen? There's nothing like having your sin debt settled. Listen, every one of us is going to go out and meet God one of these days. Seems like there's been sickness to sweep through our church. Brother Gerald had a brush with death. God spared him. Brother Jeff up there, stroke. Could have been bad. Listen to me, friend. Every one of us is going to go out of here and meet God one day. We don't like to think of that, but we are. "Come unto me." Some of the greatest words that Christ ever spoke to mankind. "Come unto me." Stand with me.